It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Hello, Elsa. That is our top story at noon. The tropical storm making landfall along the Gulf Coast of Florida today with high winds, heavy rain, and widespread flooding.
If you look at how lopsided this storm is, anything to the east of the eye will have some storm impacts for sure.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says 30 counties are under a state of emergency today. Elsa, packing winds of 75 miles an hour earlier today and turning roads into rivers all along Florida's west coast.
You can see by the palm trees that it's blowing everywhere. It's coming at all angles.
The wind kind of knocked me over. We had a decent gust. It knocked me over.
Sarasota County, Florida, getting a foot of rain from the storm, which is churning towards the Carolina coast. It'll get there tomorrow. These Floridians taking Elsa in stride.
Sitting in the condo and eating. That's it.
We put the boats all in shelter. We put them up in the barn. We picked up, like you said, some things that could blow away. We're from South Florida, so I'm in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. We're used to major hurricanes. So.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean is tracking the storm.
We are dealing with a weakening storm, and then it's going to scoot quickly to the south and east, still maintaining tropical characteristics Thursday, even into Friday, as it moves into the southeast, as well as the mid-Atlantic. And, you know, this is kind of a nice dress rehearsal for the rest of the season, because we are expecting a busy one. And, you know, not to say that this isn't a dangerous storm, but when I see a weakening trend, that's always good news.
And that is Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean. Elsa, the earliest E-named storm on record for what promises to be a very busy Atlantic hurricane season. Now to the site of that collapsed condo in South Florida. Emergency officials holding out hope they'd be able to pull survivors from that massive pile of rubble. But it's just not happening.
We're not seeing anything positive that continues in that sense. You know, the key things we're looking for all throughout in regards to void space, livable spaces, you know, we're not coming across that.
Alan Kaminsky with Miami-Dade Fire Rescue says the hope of finding any survivors at this point highly unlikely. 10 more bodies were pulled from the rubble this morning, bringing the death total to 46.
Right now, we're in a search and rescue mode. It's an active investigation, and we're focused right now. Our primary goal right now is to bring closure to the family.
That is Police Director Freddie Ramirez. Former President Trump is suing Facebook and Twitter over First Amendment rights. Social media giants have both blocked the ex-prez following the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol.
In the defense of the First Amendment, and in the end, I am confident that we will achieve a historic victory for American freedom, and at the same time, freedom of speech.
The former president announcing that lawsuit this morning at his golf club in New Jersey. Trump says he's suing Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, saying the First Amendment is a God-given right. America's crime crisis, the other big story today, a record number of shootings taking place in major cities all across the U.S. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo declaring a statewide emergency yesterday because of gun violence.
We went from one epidemic to another epidemic. We went from COVID to the epidemic of gun violence and the fear and the death that goes along with it.
Former NYPD officer Dan Bongino says guns aren't the problem, though. Progressive politicians are.
Decimated America's great cities and descended this country into crime chaos. Then they lie to your face about it. You had Mayor Lightfoot from Chicago say in a press conference, oh, crime is trending down. That's totally ridiculous. There's a record number of shootings and killings this weekend. Then they lie and they blame it on the guns.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says Governor Cuomo is releasing criminals from jail hours after they've been arrested with his bail reform measures. Now he's taking away guns New Yorkers need to protect themselves from those criminals.
To confiscate the rifles of law-abiding citizens to protect themselves from the breakdown of law and order in our cities. So think about that. The government is turning a blind eye, and in some cases even releasing criminals on the street to terrorize and victimize our citizens while trying to take away the means of self-defense from law-abiding citizens.
New York State, now the first state in the country to declare a disaster emergency because of gun violence. The president of Haiti was assassinated this morning, and his wife's condition is unclear. The BBC's Vanessa Buchalter has more.
It seems to have been a group of armed men who stormed the private residence of the president, which is located in the hills above Port-au-Prince. And they stormed the building and apparently shot open fire, and he was killed in the hail of bullets.
That is Vanessa Buchalter reporting. Reading, writing, and racism. The head of one of the largest teachers' unions in the country doubling down on her support of the controversial curriculum known as critical race theory.
Culture warriors are labeling any discussion of race, racism, or discrimination, SCRT, to try to make it toxic. They are bullying teachers and trying to stop us from teaching students accurate history.
That's Randy Weingarten with the American Federation of Teachers. She says her union is willing to take this fight all the way to the courts.
Mark my words. Our union will defend any member who gets in trouble for teaching honest history. We have a legal defense fund ready to go.
But parents across the country standing up to critical race theory, saying the curriculum, which claims America was founded to preserve slavery, not freedom, has no place in America's schools.
When you're speaking out and you're trying to say your truth, unfortunately, there are people that want to retaliate against you. And in this case, it's not that they retaliated against us. They actually retaliate against our children who are innocent.
Andrea Gross helping to lead the effort to stop the teaching of critical race theory in Ohio. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says it's no coincidence that First Lady Jill Biden is visiting a D.C. school today with AFT President Randy Weingarten.
These folks are radical. They all believe in critical race theory.
Senator Kennedy says the teaching of critical race theory only divides the country even further. President Biden's door-to-door campaign this summer to get more Americans vaccinated against COVID isn't sitting well with one health expert. Dr. Mark Siegel says there's only one person who should be advising you on whether or not to get the shot.
Someone like me, a primary care person who can tell you the risks and the benefits, the risks of the virus, the benefits of the vaccine, the risks of the vaccine. I do that in my office every single day. President Biden doesn't know how to do that, and his minions should not be doing that.
The president took the wraps off his door-to-door vaccine campaign yesterday. Today, Mr. Biden will be in the Chicago area, drumming up support for his economic recovery plan. Bad news for America's fastest female sprinter.
What's the finish line? Sha'Carri Richardson, 22.36.
Sha'Carri Richardson won't be allowed to compete in any events at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo after she was disqualified from the 100-meter dash after testing positive for pot. Still to come this Wednesday, crime crisis in New York, toll hike in Pennsylvania, and the Cuomo power grab. Again.
Well, good afternoon. We're tracking a fairly active weather pattern that's going to generate more showers and thunderstorms over the next couple days and nights. I'll have forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA. Wednesday, July 7th, from Buffalo to Binghamton, Rochester to Syracuse. Crime out of control in upstate New York.
This level of violence cannot continue. It is absolutely disgusting, and as a community, we need to come together and help put an end to this violence.
Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo says there were 13 shootings in the Queen City over the 4th of July weekend, and over 20 victims, including a three-year-old child.
Children are being caught up in this violence and injured. We need community participation. We know that there are people that have witnessed these crimes. We know that there are people that can help us solve these crimes and hold these criminals accountable for their actions.
Rinaldo says he's putting more officers on the streets of Buffalo this summer to help combat the crime crisis. And in Rochester, federal agents announcing their plan today to cut down on all the violence there. Over 200 people have been shot so far this year in the Flower City.
For the weekend, our phones were going off nonstop. Our team, we've been at every scene. We've been at the funerals, and it's just draining. It's exhausting.
Melvin Cross with the group Pathway ways to peace.
We're seeing in the city of Rochester is retaliatory. Somebody does something, somebody else responds. And so we try to get in the middle of that. Do mediation.
On Tuesday, Governor Cuomo declared a statewide emergency because of all the shootings taking place.
It is a statewide problem. And it is an emergency.
The governor signing an executive order that makes it harder for criminals to get their hands on guns. But state senator and former Erie County Sheriff Pat Gallivan says guns aren't the problem. Criminals are. And in New York, they're being released onto the streets just hours after they've been arrested.
I think the single biggest problem is the relaxation of the criminal justice policies in New York State. We have policies that favor offenders, and there's a sense of lawlessness running around out on the street where individuals perpetrating these crimes and these shootings have absolutely no fear of being held accountable for their actions.
Gallivan says bail reform is the biggest reason why New York is seeing a huge increase in crime this summer, not guns. Critics say Governor Cuomo should be the last person on the planet to be declaring emergencies over anything after his scandal-plagued response to COVID.
The idea that Governor Cuomo is once again going to have emergency powers over this is really wild. And I think anybody watching the last 16 months knows that Governor Cuomo should never have emergency powers ever again, no matter what he thinks the crisis is.
Carol Markowitz writes for the New York Post. She says whether it's guns or COVID, Governor Cuomo shouldn't be calling the shots on anything. Markowitz says the emergency declaration yesterday by the governor was nothing more than a political stunt.
Governor Cuomo has a real problem where he has an election coming up in a year, and New Yorkers are really facing this giant crime wave, and he needs to appease the leftist flank, and this is sort of what he's doing here. He's saying illegal guns should be illegal, which I think everybody agrees with, and I think everybody knows they already are illegal.
Markowitz says the governor's executive order yesterday had less to do with keeping New Yorkers safe and more to do with getting him reelected. Tolls going up on the Pennsylvania Turnpike again for the 14th year in a row. Driving that stretch of roadway will be more expensive. Looking to buy a new car? Well, get ready to fork over some money. Automobile prices shooting up to record levels. The experts say demand outpacing supply. It's driving up costs. The average price for a new car now tops $40,000. And to add insult to injury, it's costing more to fill up your car.
The average price of gas nationwide has climbed to $3.13, the highest in about 7 years. And AAA projects prices could shoot up another 20 cents by next month.
That's economist Diane King Hall. New York City's pandemic first responders joining the ranks of popes, kings, queens, and sports stars today. They were honored with a ticker tape parade up Broadway's Canyon of Heroes.
I'm so grateful. It feels like we're getting a big hug all over again from the entire city.
Nurse Sandra Lindsay was the grand marshal of this morning's ticker tape parade. Phoenix strikes first. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, and we start in the NBA. The Suns are 3 wins away from their first ever NBA championship after beating the Milwaukee Bucks 118-105 game one of the NBA Finals in Phoenix. Chris Paul, in his first NBA Finals in his 17-year career, poured in a game-high 32 points in his debut and said, "What a difference a year makes."
A year ago today, we left to go to the bubble. It's amazing to think all the things that's taken place since then. I'm grateful for where I am now. Happy to have this opportunity.
Giannis Antetokounmpo returned to action for Milwaukee, posted 20 points and 17 rebounds in 35 minutes. He had missed the Bucks' previous two games with a hyperextended left knee. He said,
"Felt great. The medical staff cleared me to play. Out there, I had my balance. Felt my knee was stable. Did not feel pain. So I felt good."
Game two tomorrow night. Tonight, it's game five of the Stanley Cup Finals. The defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning will try to win it on their home ice, leading the Montreal Canadiens 3-1 in the best of seven. Anthony Cirelli.
"We're just going to be coming ready to play. And I think that's been our mindset the whole playoffs is forget about the past days and just looking forward."
To baseball in Chicago and the Phillies with the bases loaded in the first inning.
In the air, center field, going back, back some more to the wall, and it's gone.
Andrew McCutchen with a grand slam. Bryce Harper goes 5 of 6 with 4 RBI. Reese Hoskins with 4 ribby in Philadelphia's 15-10 win over the Cubs. Bottom of the ninth, bases loaded in Pittsburgh.
A bases loaded walk ends it. Pirates 2, Atlanta 1.
Walk off, literally. The Bucs in their 2-1 win over Atlanta. Orioles hit three homers. They beat the Blue Jays 7-5 in Baltimore. Yankees blew out the Mariners 12-1 in Seattle. And in San Diego, Manny Machado celebrated his 29th birthday with three hits and three runs in the Padres 7-4 win over the Nationals. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, Elsa on the move, Trump sues big tech, and biking across the country.
By all accounts, the long journey of Baron L. Stutzman is over. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. On Friday, in an act of what can only be described as dereliction, the Supreme Court of the United States refused to hear the case of Arlene Flowers versus Washington. In refusing to hear this case, the court has failed to bring clarity to a situation that it ultimately created. Baron L. Stutzman is now the definitive answer to the question, how will my gay marriage affect you? In 2014, a longtime customer, whom Baronell considered to be a friend, asked her to create a floral arrangement for his same-sex wedding. When Baronell declined due to her Christian belief about marriage, the client said he understood and asked for referrals to other florists who would be willing to do the job. She recommended three, and then they embraced and said goodbye. When the Attorney General of the state of Washington, however, saw a post about this incident on social media, well, they brought charges against Baronell. In 2015, a trial court found her guilty of violating Washington's anti-discrimination law, ordered her to pay a $1,000 fine and the ACLU's legal fees, and to no longer accept wedding business unless she agreed to serve gay weddings. Her appeal to the state Supreme Court drew so much interest that arguments were held in a local college auditorium. The state Supreme Court ruled unanimously against Baronell, citing Kennedy's Obergefell language and even claiming that to not service a same-sex wedding is to, quote, disrespect and subordinate gays and lesbians. The court also ruled that floral arrangements weren't speech, but instead should be considered conduct. And they rejected her free exercise claim based on the Employment Division versus Smith case. In other words, the court found that even if the state had violated Baronell's First Amendment rights to free exercise, it had done so in a generally applicable way that serves a compelling interest of the government. Well, Baronell, represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom, then appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. However, when the Supreme Court found the state of Colorado guilty of animus toward the religious belief of Jack Phillips, it vacated the decision by the Washington court, effectively asking it to re-examine Baronell's case and look for the same kind of religious animus condemned by Kennedy in the Masterpiece decision. Well, unsurprisingly, the Washington Supreme Court, not about to admit that it had decided anything wrongly, ruled again against Baronell. So ADF, on behalf of Baronell, appealed again to the Supreme Court. By refusing to hear Baronell's case, the Supreme Court has left her, after 7 years of fighting for her rights of conscience, without justice. And the Supreme Court has also left America in the lurch, unsettled as to what definition of religious freedom it will recognize and protect. By ruling in favor of Catholic Social Services a few weeks ago, the court made it very clear that religious organizations will be protected. However, by refusing to take up Baronell's case, the status of religious freedom for individuals outside of religious organizations to live and to order their public lives according to their deeply held convictions is decidedly not clear. Now, even if the Supreme Court is not clear, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be. First, LGBT advocates should be clear about whether or not this is the kind of America that they want. Is the goal here really to destroy people like Baronell Stutzman and Jack Phillips? Churches, Christian organizations, and Christians everywhere also need to be clear. Where will we stand? Will we make the sort of hard life-altering choices as Baronell, even if it costs us everything? The least the rest of us can do is to stand with them, to pray for them, to support them, to carry whatever burdens we can for them, and to take our place alongside of them if and when the time comes. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Unsettled weather, the story again this afternoon. Let's get to it. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weather looks unsettled over the next couple days and nights. This is the result of a very unstable, unsettled air mass, plenty of humidity, an old front, and moisture being pushed north by Tropical Storm Elsa. The impact will be varied, but you want to keep an eye on the sky for the risk of thundery downpours over the next couple days and nights. For this afternoon, variable amounts of clouds and sunshine with isolated showers and thunderstorms, local downpours. Storms could be particularly potent in the western Twin Tiers. High temperatures ranging from the 70s close to Lake Ontario to the low 90s in eastern Pennsylvania. Mainly cloudy tonight, tomorrow with some showers and thunderstorms in the area. 60s overnight tonight, 70s tomorrow. A couple of more showers Friday, 70s. But nicer for the weekend, mainly dry, fairly sunny, with moderate temperatures.
All right, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, July 7th. Former President Trump is suing Facebook and Twitter after the social media giants banned him for life following the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol. Mr. Trump announcing that lawsuit this morning at his golf club in New Jersey. The ex-prez says freedom of speech is a God-given right. Tropical Storm Elsa roaring ashore today along the Gulf Coast of Florida. Heavy rain, gusty winds hitting the greater Tampa area. Forecaster David Parkinson.
The storm surge not as bad as it could have been. The winds certainly less bad. There was a time last night where we were looking at a Category 1 hurricane continuing to strengthen, but it has weakened and continues to weaken, and that has meant that the wind damage has been manageable.
The storm will continue to weaken as it pushes towards the Carolina coast. Elsa, the earliest E-named storm on record for what promises to be a busy Atlantic hurricane season. 10 more bodies pulled from the rubble of that collapsed condo in South Florida today brings the death total to 46. Correspondent Manuel Vojorquez is there.
Sifting through a mountain of concrete, steel, and debris, rescue crews continue the round-the-clock search for survivors. But good news is in short supply.
Key things we're looking for, more space, livable spaces. You know, we're not coming across that.
A few blocks away, four of those lost were laid to rest. The Guada family, Marcus, Anna, and their 10 and 4-year-old daughters, Lucia and Emma. The two young sisters were placed together in the same white casket adorned with ribbons.
That is Manuel Vojorquez reporting. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo declaring a statewide emergency Tuesday because of the crime crisis gripping the state.
Get illegal guns off the street, and we have to get the guns out of hands of dangerous people, and we have to rebuild the police-community relationship, period.
Cuomo says violence has surged 75% in New York since the pandemic began. In Buffalo, police captain Jeff Rinaldo says crime is out of control.
Nobody, I don't care what part of the city you live in, should have to live in daily fear of these shootings. So we have to put an end to this.
Rinaldo says it's tougher for cops to keep the peace because criminals are being released onto the streets just hours after they've been arrested. It's all because of changes to the bail system in New York. State Senator and former Erie County Sheriff Pat Gallivan.
We have policies that favor offenders, and there's a sense of lawlessness.
Gallivan says you can get rid of all the guns in New York, but if you're still releasing criminals back onto communities, you're not going to solve a thing. Haiti's president has been assassinated. It's the latest chapter in decades of political turmoil.
Prime Minister Claude Joseph telling local radio that what he called an armed commando group broke into Jovenel Moïse's private residence overnight, fatally shooting the 53-year-old president. The motive is not yet known. Joseph says the men allegedly spoke Spanish, not French or Haitian Creole.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. The Delta variant of the coronavirus now accounts for more than 80% of new infections in parts of the Midwest. In Springfield, Missouri, there's been a sharp rise in hospitalizations over the past 2 weeks.
We wouldn't want to be in this position again.
Dr. Merrill Jorez at Mercy Hospital in Springfield says they've had to add a second COVID ICU because of the rise in hospitalizations.
We have patients as young as newborns or 30 plus. The disease process is faster than before, and they are getting sicker sooner than before.
14 states across the U.S., including Missouri, have COVID vaccination rates below 50%. There's a call for people to donate blood. Nationally, blood centers have less than a one-day supply, and some hospitals have had to postpone surgeries. COVID lockdowns stalled blood drives across the country. And this doctor says the situation is severe.
We were down to such a low inventory of blood that if we had one major transfusion event, we would have been depleted completely.
That's Dr. Paresh Shaw at the NYU Langone Medical Center. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And Chris, I have to get to the first question here. Is it true that your wife suggested today's topic?
Brandon, it actually is true. I was sitting with my wife, Angela, the other night, and I told her, I said, I'm totally blanking on having a topic for this week's Real Answers. Well, then out of nowhere, literally, she just said, well, how about talking about reopening anxiety? And there it was right there. I think I need to actually make a position for her in my office.
Yeah, very true. So a special thank you this week to Angela on getting a great topic for us. And we'll dive right into it. What are we seeing as retailers, offices, et cetera, all reopen as this pandemic appears to be waning?
We're seeing a myriad of responses, I think, from those who continue to only go out in public when it's absolutely necessary, to those who are seemingly back at whatever we would call normal daily living practices. So wherever you may fall on that spectrum, I'm sure you've experienced at least a little hesitation or extra thought about where you're going and how often you need to go to these public spaces as you move about in public a little more freely. So what's happened really is this process of reopening and questioning, you know, is everything okay? Can we get back out there? Actually has brought about another level of anxiety that we've all experienced due to this pandemic. So this whole dynamic of increased awareness, of hesitation, of concern, or even worry is what we're generally terming as reopening anxiety.
Are counselors seeing many people coming into their offices because of this exclusively?
I don't really have any solid numbers at hand to come right out and say, yes, we are seeing that exclusively, but there are definitely people coming to counselors that are dealing with reopening anxiety to some level. I know that people are coming, though, that counselors are having folks coming in and saying that generally the pandemic itself has brought on anxiety. But I think what's really happened in this, the pandemic has become cause for seeking professional or pastoral counseling. But even more so than being the primary reason is that people's concerns and challenges that they had prior to the pandemic have been amplified or made worse because of the restrictions during the pandemic and the uncertainty that existed with the course of this pandemic. So we're seeing significant increases in anxiety and depression cases because of this, you could call it a synergistic effect, in addition to the new cases that are coming in also because of the pandemic and now this reopening process. Again, people are questioning just how safe is it, and because of the kind of the lack of solid answers we seem to get. So that in itself is bringing on additional anxiety.
So short of making an appointment with a counselor, what can people do to cope with the process of getting back into life?
It's important to do what you can to pay attention to the facts as best as possible. Now, I know that's tough. I realize it can be very hard with all the spin and the propaganda that just really seems to be permeating the mainstream media these days. But some things to remember include, number one, God has been and will be in control throughout this and other situations in the future to come. The pandemic definitely wasn't a surprise to him. And to continue to allow this uncertain time to draw you closer to God and allow him to identify those areas of your faith that could use a little strengthening. So that is definitely something that we all need to be mindful of. And number two, just continue to use some common sense that actually isn't specific to this pandemic, that if you're ill, if you're sick, you're battling a flu or a cold or whatever, do what you would normally do, which is stay home, try to isolate yourself as much as you can from your loved ones, wash your hands more frequently, disinfect surfaces more frequently, and if you can, sleep in another room until your symptoms have abated. So again, those tips right there are not specific to coronavirus. And number three, if you feel comfortable removing your mask in public, go for it. Most places have relaxed their mask mandate rules. However, remember, stores have the right to actually refuse service if they publicize via printed notices on their doorways or other places, either in the store or on their website, that masks are required. And if you choose not to wear one, you may be asked to leave the store. But even with that said, keep in mind your Christian witness as you handle these types of situations, that if a store really is asking you to wear a mask, then let them be able to call those shots. It is their store, it is their property, and we really need to be willing to do that. Number four, remember too that many have had the vaccine, and I'm not going to get into whether or not somebody should get it, but public health officials are telling us that this vaccine is working and that the numbers that are being reported as far as new cases and deaths are significantly lower than they have been during other times in this pandemic, and those numbers continue to drop, which is all very good news. So keeping these things in mind, not allowing your fears to get the best of you can really help you get back out there.
Any final thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. Remember that part of healthcare is what you're doing to take care of your spirit and your mind. Stay tight with your church family, stay in the study of the Word, and get outside, enjoy our summer weather, because Brandon, as we know, it goes pretty fast around these parts.
Well, once again, you've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the noon report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.
Thank you, guys. Let's stop by the Weather Center one more time.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, the weather looks unsettled over the next couple days and nights. This is the result of a very unstable, unsettled air mass, plenty of humidity, an old front, and moisture being pushed north by Tropical Storm Elsa. The impact will be varied, but you want to keep an eye on the sky for the risk of thundery downpours over the next couple days and nights. For this afternoon, variable amounts of clouds and sunshine with isolated showers and thunderstorms, local downpours. Storms could be particularly potent in the western Twin Tiers. High temperatures ranging from the 70s close to Lake Ontario to the low 90s in eastern Pennsylvania. Mainly cloudy tonight, tomorrow with some showers and thunderstorms in the area. 60s overnight tonight, 70s tomorrow. A couple of more showers Friday, 70s. But nicer for the weekend, mainly dry, fairly sunny, with moderate temperatures.
All right, Kevin, finally at noon, the ride of a lifetime. A Colorado man biking 3,500 miles across the country for cancer research.
You want to get back to doing the things that you were doing beforehand, you can do it.
Bob Falkenberg started his bike ride on May 29th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He'll finish it in Jacksonville, Florida on July 25th.
I've had two flats already.
On top of that, this soon-to-be 65-year-old was diagnosed with leukemia back in 2009, undergoing 8 rounds of chemo.
I made a commitment to myself at that point that if I got through it and survived it, that I was going to do whatever I could to help out.
For the past decade, Falkenberg has been biking to encourage more Americans to become bone marrow donors in hopes of one day finding a cure for cancer. Yesterday, Falkenberg's bike trip across the country made a pit stop to Syracuse, New York. That's the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.